0131 455 2983. This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Radio Napier. I'm Zoya Fröhlich, and here are today's top stories. Women from Northern Ireland can now have free abortions through the National Health Service in Scotland. New regulations allowing women from Northern Ireland to access the abortion services in Scotland come into force today.
And when a woman, any woman, does opt to have an abortion, and let's stress that that is never, ever an easy decision for any woman, then abortion should be available.
A police officer has been stabbed at Edinburgh College in the Granton area this morning. And also in today's programme...
A 30-minute commute to the centre of Scotland's biggest cities could save you up to £86,000.
How much money can you save by choosing to live 30 minutes outside from Edinburgh? I'm Zoya Fröhlich and this is Radio Napier. A Police Scotland officer has been stabbed at Edinburgh College's Granton's campus this morning. The alleged assault occurred at 9:30 this morning. Reporting from the scene is correspondent Clay Winowicki.
The alleged attacker is a man who is said to be threatening harm against himself and others. The officer has been taken to Edinburgh's Royal Infirmary by ambulance for treatment. His injury is non-life-threatening. Police Scotland released a statement stating a man had been detained over the alleged attack. The incident is being treated as isolated. We tried to speak with students and staff, but they were unable to give comment as they are still processing the attack. Classes have continued after the attack, and Andrea MacDonald, chairwoman of the Scottish Police Federation, has commended the bravery of the officers who arrived on scene this morning, but stated the officers were not suitably equipped to deal with an incident where an individual is armed.
Last year, over 700 Northern Irish women crossed the Irish Sea in search of safe and legal access to abortions, which would cost up to £2,000 if funded privately. As of today, that is set to change, as our reporter Aisling Press has been finding out.
Women in Northern Ireland will be able to access abortions free of charge in Scotland from today. The law governing abortion in Northern Ireland is one of the most restrictive in the European Union. This issue was first brought to the Scottish Government 1 year ago when the Green Party MSP Patrick Harvey asked the First Minister Nicola Sturgeon if the government would explore offering abortions to women from Northern Ireland on the NHS, and the First Minister's response sparked numerous headlines at the time.
I believe, like Patrick Harvey, that women should have the right to choose within the limits that we currently set down in law, and I believe that right should be defended. And when any woman does opt to have an abortion, and let's stress that that is never, ever an easy decision for any woman, then abortion should be available in a safe and legal way. So that is my view on the matter. Patrick Harvey has asked me to explore a particular issue around NHS Scotland, and I'm happy to do so.
The topic of access to abortion can be polarising, but for many pro-choice activists and organisations, it is a no-brainer. One such organisation is the Abortion Support Network. It offers services to those in Ireland, Northern Ireland and the Isle of Man who need access to safe and legal abortions. Mara Clark from the Abortion Support Network, whilst pleased by today's news, was cautious to remind us that there are still issues that Northern Irish women face within this development.
I think it depends on how provision's going to be managed. My understanding is that the provision for women in Northern Ireland will parity with the women in Scotland. And what that means is that somebody would have to go from Northern Ireland to a sexual health clinic in Scotland, be assessed, and then wait for a referral. So actually, for women coming from Northern Ireland, there is isn't a one-day service for terminations, and given the fact that the majority of women who need abortions are under 12 weeks pregnant, a one-day service would sort of suit them best.
But it was important for Mara Clark to recognise and praise the change, as well as look to what this could hold for the future of Northern Irish laws on abortion.
I think it's fantastic that England, Scotland and Wales are kind of, well, first of all, helping out women from Northern Ireland, but also hopefully putting pressure on the Northern Irish government to allow those in Northern Ireland to have abortions in Northern Ireland, which of course will be the ultimate goal.
Abortion remains a contentious issue. I asked Sister Roseanne Reddy, the coordinator of the Cardinal Winnings Pro-Life Initiative in Glasgow, for her views on the topic of Northern Irish women travelling to Scotland for NHS abortions.
I'd be interested to know what they're going to do to help women in Northern Ireland, or indeed here in Scotland, who want to keep their babies. They don't want to go down the abortion route, you know, so they're saying that they're open to give parity of help to women in Northern Ireland. And yet, what we find as people who have helped women in a crisis pregnancy for over 20 years now is that one of the most common things that women say to us is they feel they have no other choice. They have to have the abortion because they have no other choice.
Abortion remains illegal in Northern Ireland in the vast majority of cases, unlike the rest of the UK. Whilst the Republic of Ireland are set to hold an abortion referendum in 2018, there are currently no plans for abortion reform in Northern Ireland.
When time is tight and babies hungry, jars of food straight from the supermarket shelves that are ready to reheat and serve are a very convenient option. But the European Commission is set to examine a new report that reheating foods in closed jars might pose a risk of infant health from a substance called furin, which can damage a liver and which occurs naturally from changes to common vitamins, sugars and fatty acids when reheating foods. But if, like us, furin is a new term for you in the list of food concerns, you're not alone. We took the streets of Portobello to ask parents if they had ever heard of furins and if they'd ever been given any advice about the safety of reheating closed jars of food.
No, never. But now that you tell me that, I'm surely gonna look it up.
No, I haven't. No, I might occasionally buy reheating pouches and things, but I would probably make most of our food myself, I think.
I don't know if it's something that your health visitor would warn you about when they come and do your weaning talk, but we've not had it yet. So, and it certainly didn't come around the first time 3 years ago. So, I've not heard anything.
No, I haven't. It'd make me want to find out about that and whether my grandchildren should be consuming that. Definitely.
Earlier, we spoke to Kathleen Bard, scientific officer in European Food Standard Agency Biocontam Unit based in Parma, Italy, and started by asking her now, how can the risk to infants be reduced?
Furan is a volatile compound, and so the exposure can be reduced. So when you reheat ready-to-eat meals, and then particularly when you reheat them in an open system, so without a lid, and while stirring, then you see that the furan evaporate and actually the exposure of the infant is lower.
Food Standards Scotland said the UK regularly submits data with which help to evaluate the risks associated with a variety of toxins, including furans, and develop guidance if required. Any specific advice on furans will be based on evidence and scientific opinion from both the European Food Safety Authority and the independent UK Committee on Toxicity. The recent European Food Safety Authority opinion on furin indicated the need for further research to assess the risk. Firefighters have been tackling blazes across Edinburgh this bonfire weekend. Incidents on all the sides of the city, including Muir House, Pilton and Dalkeith, have placed pressure on emergency services and range from simple firework misuse to what police have described as more extensive damage. Our reporter Claire Galloway was on the scene in Midlothian.
A bonfire night blaze has destroyed an Edinburgh school building. Strained emergency services were called to Paradise Primary in Lonehead shortly after 9 p.m. to tackle the inferno. While no one was injured in the blaze, the fire has left extensive damage to the building. One local shopkeeper who was awoken by the fire witnessed the building burn throughout the night.
Just after 9 o'clock, somebody phones us. The wife got up and she had a look out the window and there was a fire. She kept shouting at me, there's a fire, there's a big fire out there. And the fire went on more or less till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They were still burning. Smoke was still coming out by the neck, 9 o'clock. People are coming around now to ask, oh, did you see the fire? Did you see the fire? I mean, everybody saw the fire. Right. Somebody could have died in there. Somebody could have got roasted in there.
He has also now provided CCTV evidence to the police, who are treating the incident as suspicious.
About 10 o'clock, 9:30, 9:45 maybe, the police start knocking on the shutters so they can get some information. Do what they want to do, like search the TV, CCTV or whatever. The boys who's done it, they've seen with the petrol can. It's on the CCTV with the petrol can.
CID Andrew Hope spoke to me at the scene. He commented that authorities were following up leads surrounding a group of local youths who are believed to be responsible for previous fires at the school, along with other antisocial behaviour in the area. MSP Colin Beattie gave his response after a number of similar incidents at the premises.
Since the school moved away from that site and it became closed, there have been a number of incidents. For example, just I think it was about 2-3 weeks ago, there was a fire alongside the school, which destroyed a whole bunch of nursery equipment for the after-school club, £10,000 worth. There have been other incidents where windows have been broken, I think the bus had its windows broken. I say a bus, one of the minibuses that go to the premises had its windows broken. So, yes, it seems to be a trait in the area that where a building has been closed down or is abandoned, that that it gets damaged in some way by fire or whatever.
A City of Edinburgh Council document has been leaked detailing £21 million worth of cuts, which councillors say need to be made to make ends meet. Tomorrow, councillors will be asked to put the package out to public consultation before a final decision is made in February. Among the cuts, the council is proposing a £3 million cut from its health and social care budget. There are currently 1,836 people in Edinburgh still waiting to be assessed for care. A hotline has been created to report cases of sexual harassment at the Scottish Parliament. The Holyrood hotline will be a dedicated and confidential phone line for anyone working at the Parliament with concerns to report. Two firefighters have been attacked by a gang of drunk youths at Lawfield Farm in Dalkeith. The firefighters were punched and kicked as they attempted to put out a fire on Bonfire Night. Neither firefighter needed hospital treatment and they were all able to continue their shifts. The Scottish BAFTAs went underway last night with the Edinburgh-based blockbuster T2 Trainspotting winning awards. Here are Rachel Mackey and Ryan Leddo with the story.
Choose life. T2 Trainspotting dominated the Scottish BAFTAs last night, but as Edinburgh is a changing city, does T2 represent the new image of the capital? And what about Scottish film? Trainspotting won hands down, but was the competition fierce enough? Rachel Mackey interviews Brian Ferguson, an arts correspondent from the Edinburgh Evening News, about the future of Scottish film and why Trainspotting resonates in the city.
Well, I think on various levels, a massive chunk of the audience would have been people who remembered it the first time round. And a chunk of those, a proportion of those people would definitely be people who liked the original book. So a lot of the Scottish audience initially were people who were relatively familiar with the book. The book was a big success a couple of years before the film. So it's just, I think it's the characters really, the story. I mean, especially in the original film, it was the characters more than anything. And yeah, I think it was almost like a nostalgia trip for a lot of people. But
It might be fair to say that there wasn't a lot of competition last night in terms of the lead actor character category, for example, they were all actors from T2. What do you think that says about the state of the Scottish film industry?
Well, these things tend to go in peaks and troughs, I think. I think it was maybe inevitable with that film.
Mm-hmm.
I think every year at the BAFTAs, maybe one or two films tend to dominate. Often, you know, it's maybe a couple of years down the line at the BAFTAs that something's recognised after it's made, basically. So
mm-hmm.
it can take such a long process of making a film.
And lastly, what do you think the future is for the Scottish film industry?
I think one of the big drawbacks that's still there for the film industry, undoubtedly, is the lack of a film studio that's a kind of permanent facility. So the only one really that exists is where Outlander's filmed, and that is pretty much in use all the time. I think until that is built, and we've been writing about it for something like 80 years, Scotland will still be kind of lagging behind a bit, basically. But
Trainspotting won Best Actor with Ewan Bremner, Best Director for Danny Boyle and Best Overall Feature Film.
And now in the studio with me is Ben Green, our sports expert. Ben, I heard there news from Glasgow. What is going on?
Yes, well, Rangers have made an informal approach to former England manager Steve McLaren. It comes after Pedro Takjina was relieved of his managerial position at Ibrox last week. McLaren is currently working as an advisor with Maccabi Tel Aviv in Israel. Scotland have called up three Edinburgh players ahead of this month's Rugby Union international matches. Neil Cochrane, Magnus Bradbury and Rory Sutherland join the squad. The uncapped Cochrane replaces Ross Ford, who has a pectoral injury, as the Scottish side faces matches against Samoa, Australia and New Zealand later this month. And finally, Slaven Bilic has been sacked as West Ham manager following a poor run of results in the Premier League. The Croat says he's saddened, but not disappointed by the board's decision.
Sad and disappointed, but not in the club. I mean, I expected that, to be fair. It is a move that the clubs are usually doing, so no hard feelings, to be fair. I'm going to be, especially when the time goes by, I'm going to be very proud of my work here.
The 49-year-old was dismissed today, with Scottish manager David Moyes in line to take the vacant position. Bilic was appointed in the summer of 2015 and led them to seventh in his debut season.
Thank you, Ben. People living in Edinburgh face high rent prices, so they are deciding to move to areas on the outskirts instead. But would commuting into the city every day actually save you money? The Bank of Scotland said commuters were typically better off even after travel costs of £1,700 were taken into account. Indigo Stafford took a 40-minute ride from Charing End to the city centre and spoke to Carolyn Young from ESPC to find out more.
Monday morning, and as usual, I'm sitting on the commuter's bus. One thing I don't mind about the 40-minute commute, however, is that it gives me time to organise myself in the morning. Sometimes I even whip out my laptop and use the free Lothian bus Wi-Fi. A 30-minute commute to the centre of Scotland's biggest cities could save you up to £86,000 in house prices. With all the free time on my commute, I decided to give an Edinburgh estate agent a call.
Yeah, in Edinburgh there's a lot of high demand on properties. So if you go out to Dunfermline, for example, it's about £100,000 cheaper to buy a property in Dunfermline than it would be to buy in Edinburgh. Also, West Lothian offers good value properties as well. And trying in areas in Mid Lothian, such as Dalkeith and Bonnyrigg, you're also going to get more value. I think with Edinburgh, you know, living in the city centre, if people are working in the city, they wouldn't have to commute so far. It's a very easy city to walk around, and I think a lot of people like to be in the heart of the city. But with Fife, for example, moving out to Fife, it is very popular with commuters, and it's easy to travel between the two places, especially with the Queensferry crossing. Buying a two-bedroom flat in town would probably be more expensive than a three-bedroom house in Dunfermline, and you'd have a garden. So it's a lot more comfortable, I suppose, for families.
I decide to have a quick search on my laptop, looking up Coulters, and I'm going to look at the first two-bedroom houses that I see. The first example, Marchmont Road. Important to note that it's not technically a house, but a flat, and it's coming in at offers over £295,000. The second example, a considerably more spacious two-bedroom flat in Edinburgh's New Town, it's under offer for £465,000. A quick search on the ESPC website, and the first thing I see, a two-storey terraced villa coming in at offers over £128,000. So there you go, a considerable difference. If you compare the two most expensive properties, the saving would be around £82,000, which is in line with the predicted average.
And here's today's weather. Rain will become widespread tonight through Scotland. There will be patchy rain in the southwest this evening, and heavy rain will spread east after midnight, reaching Edinburgh towards dawn. Tonight's minimum temperatures in Edinburgh will reach 7 degrees Celsius. By Tuesday, rain will slowly clear from the west through the morning and the afternoon will be dry, with some sunshine and light winds. My name is Ilja Fröhlich and you have been listening to Radio Napier.
Edinburgh Napier Radio Group. Radio Energy. By the students. For the students.